This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. I'm getting ready to travel actually in a few days, going to Atlanta for a speaking engagement. And of course, when I booked my flight, I booked it on Delta Airlines. I am a complete homebody. So when I travel, I want my flying experience to be as comfortable as I am at home. And I love that Delta provide that. They have these curated travel experiences just for you. I love even their sustainable alternatives that they have for their in-flight dining, like plant-based dishes, especially as a plant-based eater. They have bamboo cutlery, organic, gluten-free, and nutrient-packed snacks. Literally everything that I need to be my best self in the air. They also have more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment and premium food options and beverages like herbal teas, cold brew, sparkling wine, and more. So just like when I'm at home, I get something good to eat and watch something on TV, I can do the same exact thing in the air. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. I hope you guys enjoyed part one of the six-figure setup, my interview with Tiffany Gillespie. Don't forget, the full episode is available on my YouTube channel in video at Tatum Tamia. I will include the link directly to the video, so you ain't got to go searching too far on YouTube for it. I'll include the link that sent you straight to the video in the show description. But don't forget, you guys, to subscribe to my YouTube channel so that you get notified when I'm going live. Just a quick heads up. Today is Sunday. I don't schedule the lives at a consistent time just yet because I record the podcasts different times every week. But just a heads up, this week I'm going to be recording multiple episodes live. So make sure again that you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. So that way, once I go live, you get the notification and you can join me and see the behind the scenes of recording the episode. You can ask me questions in real time, all of the things. So again, my name is Tatum Tamia on YouTube. I will link the link to this particular episode's video. And of course, you can just click on my channel and subscribe there. Without further ado, here's part two of the six-figure setup with my girl, Tiffany Gillespie. We should discuss more is just finding joy and finally getting the things that you once prayed and cried over.
Yeah, man, listen, you ain't gonna make me cry this episode. Like, I think I was crying half the daggone last episode that we did. But oh, that just hit me. You know, I had to get my little tissue, blot my little eyes, so I don't mess my makeup up. And the reason why that hit me is because that is the poverty mindset. And with my close friends, I have been very transparent about my struggle with that mindset. And I haven't even shared this with my own community yet. I'm sharing it with the Blessed and Bossed Up community first. But one so in December of 2020 for Christmas, I went and bought myself a new car, and it was a 2020. So current model year, anybody that follows me on social media, you see my baby, her name is Freedom. And you seen her, she there. But the reason why I named, and I'm trying not to get emotional, the reason why I named my car Freedom was because with that decision, I was free from the poverty mindset. And it has been, you know, sometimes it's not a daily struggle anymore. And I thank God for that. It's not even a weekly struggle anymore. And I really thank God for that. But it is more of a, sometimes monthly, if I can be honest, I had a little moment back over the summer when I was in the process of moving and transitioning, and my move was not easy. And, you know, again, I'll share that story one day as well. But I had that moment where I was like, man, what if I don't have enough? And one of the things, and I always laugh at myself when I think about this, is I've always had enough, though, which is why the poverty mindset is such crap, because I've always had enough. Like, I ain't never been without a roof over my head, my own roof. I never had to move back home, you know, to my parents' house. And again, I'm a fan of moving home and staying home as long as you can. I want to be very clear about that. But I never had to, because I couldn't afford to live on my own. You know, the challenges. I remember when I, you know, was renting, getting the eviction notice. I've been there with my mortgage, the house, you know. And I actually just sold my house, but with my mortgage, I remember getting the foreclosure notices in the same year that I bought the house. Like, this wasn't no years later. It was the same year. So I remember, you know, all of those things and, you know, being afraid and like not being afraid of not having enough. And yet I've always had more than enough. I've never, like, my car, I ain't never been afraid. I've actually been afraid of it getting repossessed, but I've never got like a repossession notice or, you know, any of those things that we just like hype up in our head around like money and poverty and all of those things. And, you know, the poverty mindset can go two ways. It's being so frugal, and I think the term is spendthrift. It's being so tight with your money because you're afraid of not having more, but it's also being so loose with your money and careless because you're like, oh, it's always going to come. Like, no, I don't have that mindset, but me purchasing that car, a current model year, you know, with all the bells and whistles that I didn't have to sacrifice nothing. I didn't have to settle for anything. I got the price that I wanted, the car payment that I wanted, like all of those things, everything that I wanted in that process, I had gotten for myself. And it was crazy talking about the car payment. I had been telling myself for years that the reason why I would not get a new car was because I didn't know if I could afford the car payment, or, oh, I don't want a car payment. I don't want a car payment. I'm not going to buy a car until I can buy it in cash. And really what the issue was that I was afraid of having a car payment and not being able to pay it. It wasn't about buying the car in cash. I just was scared I wasn't going to be able to pay my car payment. So me purchasing that car, me living in the type of place that I live in now, like, you know, you see that meme where people say, like, you know, you're living in an answered prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, my entire life it's answered prayers, like, that were prayed for many, many, many years. So how dare I, like you said, with the bag, like, we going back and forth, like, this is small potatoes to my God. This is light work for him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Keeping the lights on and like, ask him for something that seems impossible to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be completely honest, I can go get a job to pay for this lifestyle. That ain't impossible to God. If I can come up with a solution, it's not, that's small potatoes to God, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and again, I love that we're using material things as well, like a Chanel bag or a brand new car. And I got the car that I wanted. My new pastor actually just asked me yesterday, because he saw my car for the first time. He was like, what made you get that car? And I was like, I sacrificed for it. And I wanted to get what I wanted. That's the reason why. I talked to my God. He said that I can have it. So I went and bought it. So the crazy part is it ain't even the most expensive of the cards that I want in the future. So we're going to see what the Lord does. But in any of it, yeah, it's just you got to get out of that poverty mindset, because the thing is that you'll get to six figures. You don't get to your next six figures without investing. So if you are, whether it is, again, and we're talking about material things, and I love that we are, but let's also talk about the business things. I didn't stop investing in my business to purchase my car or anything else that I have, you know, for that matter. For you, it was a Chanel bag. For me, it was a Louis bag, right? The going back and forth about it, right? Mm-hmm. I remember hitting up Kristen and Ray one day and telling them, this was back around Christmas, that I felt like I had too much new stuff. Like, I didn't want to be seen. And literally, I remember texting this. I was afraid to be seen getting out of my new car with my new Louis bag, with my Apple Watch and my AirPods at the same time. I felt like it was too much, right? Wow. And not because it was too much, but I just felt like that's too big. That you can't do it. That's too much new stuff at the same time. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, I sacrificed for years with a bunch of old stuff. Like, I've really, really sacrificed that for years. So I'll stop there because I can keep going about this part of the story. And like I said, it makes me emotional. So I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, that's good though. I love that we're talking about this because because of social media and things like that, we see everybody acting like life is easy. You know, even people who are doing well and successful, you know, life is easy. You know, I got this, I got that. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do that. Everybody is a guru. Everybody is transparent. And for those who listen to the show, I'm using air quotes, everybody who is transparent, but they're not really transparent. It's just you showing me your breakfast is not being transparent. Us Amen. Sitting here and talking about the internal battle of just buying something for ourselves. Yeah. That's real. Oof. Like, that's, I had a whole breakdown around even hiring our nanny. And everybody was like, oh, I had all these kids and I could have did this. And I was like, but this makes the most sense for my family. My child can be home. I don't got to worry about him getting sick at a daycare. I can work from home and still be around, you know, on my computer or playing with them. And, you know, but it fit for what we have to do. And it allows me to still be present, even if I have to step away to take a call or do a meeting or whatever. Like, it made sense for our family. But I felt so terrible about it because of the world standards, where everybody's standard is, oh, when you have a nanny, they're raising your kid. And that's not, and I'm like, well, she don't take them nowhere. She literally is just a long-term, full-time babysitter.
Right. I was just about to say, people get babysitters. And it's, I mean, you can say the same thing about like daycare. Like, if your kid is at daycare from the time they open to the time they close, is daycare raising your kid?
Right. And so for me, it was just like, it was such a thing to just invest even on the family side and what we needed to make our family system work, and just feeling bad about it. And I'm at the place now, and when I start to feel bad about things that are good for me, I have to take a step back to figure out what's going on. Like, and again, like I said earlier, thinking about what I'm thinking about so that I can get rid of those thoughts and win the battlefield of my mind. Because our minds are so powerful. And if we don't keep our thoughts under control, if we don't keep our emotions under control, and if we don't keep the fact that God is God and He's going to take care of us at the top of the forefront of our head, we can get caught up in all of these other things that's going on. So practically, for anybody who's watching or listening, if you're dealing with these mindset shifts, what I would say to do is to keep God's blessings at the forefront of your mind. Yeah. What He's done for you, what the Word says He's done for others, whatever testimonies or people that you know that whose stories inspire you, like, keep those things at the forefront of your head. Like, we just moved recently, this on Friday. And so I remember, like, I wanted a bigger space. So when we bought our house, it was like, okay, we don't want to move into another apartment. We want something we could own. It's going to be temporary. And so our goal at that time was, you know, let's buy something that we live in temporarily, and then we'll rent it out. And it'll be our first investment property, because me and BJ both like real estate.
And so we kind of didn't give up on a dream, but I had the baby, it was COVID, like we weren't really thinking about it.
Right.
Right. So then, the place got real small real fast when the baby came.
Oh boy. And being at home during COVID. Yeah.
Exactly. It took over. So then I was like, man, I want a bigger space. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to buy a house right now. That's not happening. You got to sell your soul at this point to buy one with COVID. That ain't going to happen. So then I was like, oh, maybe we can rent a place. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, we're going to have to pay like first, last, moving, all of that. So that's going to be a bag that's going to have to be dropped. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense right now. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. We'll just deal with what we have and be happy we got a roof over our head. And really just left it alone. I wasn't tripping. Yeah. Maybe like a month later, and it was due to an unfortunate situation, but BJ's cousin inherited a property and he was going to rent it out. And he was like, what did y'all say? I was looking for, like, I wanted a bigger place. And we were like, yeah. He was like, well, y'all can rent out this place and, you know, I'll give it to you for way cheaper than what it will go for on the market. Y'all want it, it's yours. I was like, what you mean? Like, what you mean? Say less. And so we ended up, and so we were trying to decide if we did want to rent our house or sell it. So it made more sense to rent it. Within like, Tiffany, literally like a couple days, we had a tenant. And she pays more than what we were about to list it for rent.
Wow.
We were able to move into, you know, the place his cousin inherited, pay cheaper rent.
Yeah.
Because it's COVID, we were able to even like refinance the house for a cheaper interest rate and save money over time and make more money from the rental property. But we didn't have to do anything. It was just like made our request known to God and kept it moving. And so stuff like that is what I remind myself of whenever the poverty mindset or whatever mindset shift that I may be dealing with when it comes up. It's like, God has not failed me yet.
No.
God told me to move on Anchor Media in 2019 in like April. By December, we had already made over $100,000. So, and we've just continued to add 100,000s year after year.
Just keep adding hundreds of thousands.
But for a company to be 2 years old where we are, we're getting ready to hire our first full-time employee. Like, that is wild. Within like 2 years, this company is fresh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I can't unsee what God has done for me. I can't unsee what he's done for people that I know. And I can't unread what I've read in the Bible and the miracles that he's performed. And so I know just whatever my goals are, it's just a matter of time and it's not impossible for God to do. And I think that's we talk about faith and business all the time, but even talking about six figures, don't make it an idol. Yeah. Because God can do it. He doesn't need time to do it. If he's taking time, it's for a reason. And we have to trust.
Help us.
The reason is. You go help us.
Yeah, because I know my reasons. I mean, again, that's a whole nother conversation. I know my reasons.
I do want to go back to business for a second because you said something and I wrote it down. You talked about, we were, you know, talking about being the CEOs and getting out of that founder mindset. You talked about making your business decisions off of data.
Yeah.
And this is something I definitely want people to, that's why I want to go back to it, to take into account. When you are building your business, you have to make data-based decisions. When I sit down with BJ, who's our CFO, at the end of the year to go over like all of our finances, we pull together all of the numbers, where the money came from, how much we've spent, when we spend it. We create a budget every year. So we're comparing it to the budget that we set last year. Where are we on track to end the year the way that we said we would? These are the things we said we were going to release. Were they profitable? Were they not? These are extra things that I might have came up with that we did. Was it worth it? And so in that, we even have like little charts. And so based off of like the data, we're able to make a strategic decision. So one of the things that came up was, of course, for Anchor Media, the entryway to working with us is Find Your Voice Academy. So that's like our that pathway is our money maker. And yep. So with that though, I was like, okay, there's ways to multiply this even more. And I noticed like with the journals, not the journals, but the planners and stuff, I'm sending this stuff out to like other countries. And I was like, we need to do a international retreat. And let's not even go. You know what I'm saying? We can, but like, let's keep overhead low and test it out first and not even go. And let's do a retreat that's specifically for international podcasters. And so that's one of the things that we'll do next year. And I can easily say it because nobody else can do things the way that we do. And so that was a data decision. I didn't think about that. But you got to look at like where the numbers are and how you can use that data to make decisions, even with marketing, looking at the data. And I talk about that even with podcasting, the importance of using your email marketing software to segment your list. So I talk about faith and business. I may talk about life things under my own brand. I may talk about podcasting, but I need to make sure I'm not talking about podcasting to the person who ain't starting a podcast, because that's not making sense. And that's going to leave a bad taste in their mouth. I need to stick with what the conversation needs to be with them. But those data decisions are products of good software. And so I say all that to say, starting out, a lot of times people make decisions on what's the cheapest, what's they're not going to be able to pay for. But can you talk a little bit about investing in the right resources and tools that are going to give you the data to make decisions from?
This episode is brought to you by Rosetta Stone. I've been telling you guys that I'm planning a trip for my husband's milestone birthday that he has coming up. And as we choose which location we actually want to go to, I've been thinking a lot about learning a new language once we narrow it down. Because when I get there, I want to throw myself into the culture, into the language. And a part of that is learning exactly the language that they speak ahead of me getting there, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. I'm most excited about the track record of Rosetta Stone because, I mean, they've been trusted experts for 30 years. Millions of users and 25 languages offered. I mean, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. They have fast language acquisition. So Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. So no English translations. So you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. They have an intuitive process so that you pick up language naturally, first with words, then with phrases, and then sentences. And overall, it's designed for long-term retention. They have speech recognition, so a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. So it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. So again, those desktop and app options with audio companion and ability to download lessons offline. And best of all, amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off, a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. This episode is brought to you by NPR. We know that Black stories and Black representation in the media is so important. When I was growing up, I wanted to see people on the screen who looked like me. I wanted to hear people on the radio who sounded like me. One of my fondest memories of my childhood was growing up and listening to our local radio station. And my favorite media personality, if you're from the DMV area, you know him, is Russ Parr. And I listened to the Russ Parr Morning Show every single day on the way to school. That was my first introduction to Black people in the media. And I just remember how I felt connected to the hosts, their guests, all the segments, how even my mother, or anyone who was in a car with us, just felt connected to the stories and had a great time engaging with the show. And it's something that's inspired me today, just really wanting to connect with my listeners through my platforms. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and as nuanced as the Black experience itself. I think one of the things that so many places get wrong about the Black experience is they make us to be a monolith. And we're not. We are so different and we have so many perspectives. There's so much diversity even within Black Stories. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. So everywhere from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. My favorite part of the series is the diversity of perspectives, because I believe that one of the most frustrating things about being Black in America is the way they try to group us all together as if we don't have different backgrounds, different thoughts, different opinions, different cultures within our culture. And I love that diversity. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuances, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be told about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, I'm literally pulling up my budget right now because I'm going to go through this whole list right with y'all, okay? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you get a return at the level of your investment, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember when I first started my business, and a lot of the decisions, like you said, were made based on what I could afford, but I never felt any kind of way about that. And again, this is type of stuff that like makes me emotional and from a grateful place, because mm-hmm. I prayed for like, you know, God, I want to be able to get the version of, you know, StreamYard that don't have all of StreamYard's branding on it. And I want to be able to, you know, get this version of this. Like, for example, we just set up a separate website for the Six Figure Society, and I paid like, and this is something so small, but it's so big though. I brought all, like pretty much all of the similar domains. This is the first time I've ever done that. The reason why, one, again, it was a data-driven decision, because I have seen how this thing can go left when mm-hmm. somebody comes along and tries to set up the sixfiguresociety.net or something like that. Let me go ahead and get that up off your hands. I'm going to take that with me too. So I purchased as many domains as what made sense. Again, not just spending money just to spend it, but just getting, you know, like the most popular ones and all of those things. And I just paid for it for the year. Like, bam, there you go. So that I'm not spending more money, because the data that I'm looking at when I'm making a decision like that, that if I can save, so for example, let's say that it costs, and I'm just using a random number, let's say for all of those domains that it costs me $150 to pay for it in full, but it costs me $225 to pay for it monthly over the course of a year. That $75 savings, I can actually reinvest into another platform and probably pay for it for the entire year. So let's just talk about like Squarespace and Canva, for example, right? Canva's membership, I think like their premium is like really inexpensive. It's maybe, you know, like $12 a month. 12 times 12 is 144. So if I can take that 75 that I saved by paying for Squarespace in full, I can now then invest that. And now I only have to come up with a little bit more to just pay for like the Canva in full. And again, I'm just giving these numbers off the top of my head, but that data is revenue driven, because I need more money to invest in the other platforms and things that I need. So just going back, like if you're kind of like cash strapped and you're like, okay, what, you know, resources do I need? What do I not need? I would say the basics that I had, and again, you know, I was, you know, sis month to month, because there was a point I was living paycheck to paycheck, even as an entrepreneur. But having things like Buffer has been one of my favorite social media management platforms to use. And I love Buffer. I have such a sweet spot for Buffer because I've grown with them. So mm-hmm. being able to see their growth as well in terms of features, analytics that they evaluate and all of those things, like being able to go in and again, having these charts and graphs. And I appreciate, you know, what Instagram, what their dashboard does and the analytics that they show, but Buffer gives me more. So it's worth investing in for my social media management, because I can see again, more analytics say, and with Buffer. So here's the other piece, right? Instagram only covers Instagram and Facebook. Buffer, I can get my metrics on all of my platforms at the same mm-hmm. time. Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I think they posted like Pinterest and some other ones as well. So that's one that I would recommend investing in, or a similar platform. People use Planoly, Hootsuite, all that type of stuff. One day, these brands that we are talking about right now will be sponsoring our podcast. Amen. But yeah, so using for, again, if you're like cash strapped, using Canva was another one that was really good for me. Canva doesn't have like data and analytics, but it was a platform that I could use like in conjunction with my social media management. Some of the other platforms that I'm using that give me data and analytics, and I'm trying to look through my budget because that'll tell me, even if you're investing in like Facebook advertising, doing it the right way, not just boosting a post, but like actually doing it the right way, so that you can get those metrics, that data back. Oh, another platform that gives data that I use is MailChimp. So they give data, but any of the email marketing platforms should be giving you data. It's just a matter of which mm-hmm. ones, you know, are the best. And then the last one that I'll talk about is QuickBooks. So, you know, we'll see what happens with QuickBooks because they price. Once you start having a team, you know, as long as you're solo, you're good. But as soon as you start making a little bit of money, you can hire a couple people. They like limit. Give me all your coins. But yeah, they're a really good platform. And again, it's where I started. I just upgraded my QuickBooks like 6 months ago or something like that. So yeah, so those are some of the platforms that I use and like the type of data that they're giving. But pretty much any platform that you are investing in should be giving you some sort of data on the thing that it says that it can do for your business. And then you can make a decision. I also have about three or four things on here that are on hold because the data told me that I wasn't really using them enough to keep spending money on them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does MailChimp allow you to sell products right through the email through them and not like an external integration?
Yes, they do. So again, okay. MailChimp is one of those platforms though that has upgraded, right? So they have evolved throughout the years. MailChimp is one of those platforms I've definitely grown with as well. People, you know, MailChimp, I do think though is a very, I think it's a really good platform for startups and new businesses. Mm-hmm. For those who, and how, you know, dare I say this, not use email marketing maybe a lot to reach their audience. I'm not sure why you wouldn't, but like that could be a thing. If you have a smaller audience, MailChimp is a really good platform as well. But again, once you grow, you may have to, you got to start comparing those costs to see, you know, what makes the most sense. So,
yeah, I'm a ConvertKit girl. When I saw that they added in, they have something for podcasts now too, where you could integrate your RSS feed into your emails. So whenever a show goes out, or even a blog, because the RSS feed isn't just for podcasts. So whenever a new piece of content goes out on your feed, instead of you having to basically craft an email, it automatically emails your audience. You have your RSS feed. So when they added that and the product, so if I create like an automation, I'm able to see the full life cycle in one platform as opposed to it connecting to like my website or something else to where a bit of data is lost because now it's being taken to a different platform. They added them two things. I'm like, these companies, and you really have to like continue to go back and check their new features to make sure you're using them right. Because some things I realized, oh, like for example, Mighty Networks, we're moving the society over to Mighty Networks because I'm using it for something else. But now it has all of the features that Simplero did. So I'm able to give my audience or give our members more and save money on my end. So let's get rid of them. Collect my money back that I'm spending on that and be better by just doing multiple things in one place. And so just even keeping up with the features, and because of COVID and so many more people taking their businesses online, these companies are popping out features left and right. And it's really beneficial for us as entrepreneurs who operate in the online space. And so making data decisions too is being on top of like the new features and things you can be using. You may not need three things anymore. You may be able to do everything within that one platform.
Yep, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. So, and again, I think that's even, I love what you were saying about you and BJ reviewing the budget. So I review, and I'm sure y'all do as well, because BJ is a financial guy. So I review my budget in detail. Honestly, I look at my budget every week. And then I review quarterly to see like, are we on track, you know, to reach the financial goals that we have? Did I like spend too much somewhere and didn't realize it? And again, those weekly like quick check-ins help to monitor that sort of thing, or at least bi-weekly. So whatever, like if your clients are like on a pay cycle, if you know that all your money comes in on the 15th and the 30th, you should be checking your budget around the 15th and the 30th. But doing it on a monthly basis is definitely a norm. But that quarterly piece, I actually just started that maybe within the past year, where at the end of every quarter, and I update the budget for the next quarter to say, you know what, we need to pull back on something, or hey, we can actually add a little bit more here. But that budget informs where we are spending our money and what we're spending it on in the revenue.
Yeah, that's good. It's something we're going to start doing next year is having marketing and finance meet together. The money, I call it the money meeting. The
money meeting.
Because if marketing is supposed to drive sales. So we need to make sure that that's what it's doing, like, especially for me. Cause I'm like, look, if y'all want me showing up all the time and doing these videos and carrying this camera and all that, show me where all of that is being impacted into the bottom line. Otherwise, we need to figure it out. Cause if I could take some more money and throw it on an ad and I don't have to personally get on here or whatever, like I'm going to do that. So show me how long-term this is really benefiting the bottom line. And so these two departments need to come together to make sure that everybody's time is being used to the best of its abilities, and everybody is truly being maximized. And we're not just out here doing stuff. Like, girl, we passed that. We're not about to be out here just doing stuff. We out here building a company, and we need to make sure this company is making money and is growing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I just told my digital marketing team, I want to say last week, team, if it doesn't make money, then it doesn't make sense for the digital marketing team. So if the digital marketing ain't making money, I'm gonna let y'all fill in the rest of that. And they were just looking at me, and I my team probably thinks I'm crazy, but they were just like, okay, we understand you, we get you. Yeah, like this is y'all's job, and it's your job to know what makes money in this space, right? Like what is actually going to produce revenue, which means that you're drawing it. Social media is a driver. It's driving people to spend money with our company. And if that's not happening, we have to evaluate why.
Yeah.
And if you can't come to me and tell me why, and give me a solution, then, you know, because again, we ain't wasting no money around here. So
we talked about that too. And something we implemented, we did this when we first started building a digital marketing team, was we added commission to the compensation model. So like, make a sale, you get a commission. So it's an incentive for you to make the whole thing get down to the bottom line. And even in the future, we were talking about that because we like to utilize interns and stuff. So we were saying for next year is to have something in a budget to where when certain marketing goals are met, a commission goes to the team, and it can be utilized in any type of way. Like, I don't know, we take everybody out to dinner or give everybody checks or like some type of incentive to where people are able to, especially marketing, because it is the vehicle that drives sales. And if salespeople are get commission, why don't marketers get commission? So yeah, that We can talk about that all day. But
thanks.
The last thing I wanted to ask, and we talked about this when we were talking about your podcast, and we're going to definitely talk about that in a second. But talk about, and I love how you broke this down when we were talking about your show. Talk about the levels to six figures.
Yeah, I love talking about this because, yeah, there's different levels to six figures, and I'll just get straight to it. So it's important to know, of all, that there is six-figure revenue, six-figure profit, and six-figure salary. And I listed it in that order for a reason. Mm-hmm. If your company is not profiting six figures, I am of the belief that you should not have a six-figure salary because your company can't afford it. Yeah. If there's not, you know, room in the budget, essentially, for that, right? And if you, like, let's say, for example, that your company is making $200,000 in annual revenue and your salary is $100,000, you are eating half of your money with just your salary alone. So then once you start adding team members and all of those other things on, do you even have a profitable business anymore, right? Because I know how much my team costs in annual revenue. And if I were to do a model like that, if I was only making $200,000 a year and had a six-figure salary with the current team that I had, there wouldn't be very much left. Like, because that payroll, you know, is expensive. Investment is what I like to say. So all of that to say that there are levels to six figures. So just because somebody is saying that they made six figures does not mean that they made a six-figure profit or that they have a six-figure salary. Many of the people that I know personally who have six-figure revenue businesses do not have a six-figure salary. Some people choose to continue to sacrifice that for a period. And then sometimes your company just can't sustain it. And that's okay. Like, it's also okay that your company is not yet at the place where it can sustain your six-figure salary plus the salary of your team. But I think it's important to understand that, one, for perception, but also, two, for information and knowledge.
Yeah, I love that. And also for goal setting, deciding what six figure means. And so for me, initially it was, I want to make six figures. Now I want to profit six figures. I'm good on the salary for a while because my goal is so big. I'm going to have to keep putting a lot of money back into the business. So I'm cool with that. But when I see them six figures under that profit, I'm throwing a party. I'm going to have,
y'all ain't gonna know how to act.
I'm going to fall out. For real. But I definitely don't want to keep you too long. And I'm going to put a pin in it there because this is a lot of what you're going to cover on your podcast. So before you go, tell us about your podcast, The Six Figure Setup, when it's coming out, all of the things.
Absolutely. So first, I do have to give a very shameless plug to Anchored Media. I have no problem plugging. To Anchored Media and the podcast planner. I literally have it right here in front of me. So what I'm getting ready to tell you all, and you have to purchase a planner to know what's inside of it. But one of the pages actually talks like about your podcast. So, you know, when Tatum was like, oh, we're going to talk about the podcast, I'm like, cool, let me grab my planner because everything that I need to say is there. Excuse me one second because I can't be choking once I start talking about it. All right. Whoo, y'all got it together. So in any event, shameless plug, shout out to Anchor Media and the podcast planner. So the Six Figure Setup podcast is really helping minority women to make their first six figures or their next with integrity. So this, the Six Figure Society focuses on minority women-owned businesses who are grossing under $1 million in revenue. I wanted to create a podcast as a resource and as a supplement to that community. So again, we'll be talking about six-figure success with integrity. This show, and one of the things that really sets it apart from other podcasts that are similar, is that we are really going to be information forward and resource heavy. So you will hear the inspiration. You will, you know, get the stories. There's going to be interviews, but we're also going to be talking about the resources, the very tangible resources that I used and that the people in my network used in order to attain six-figure salary, revenue, profit, all of those things. how they sustained it and how they actually applied the tools and resources that we're going to be bringing. So again, we want to, you know, interview entities like the SBA, the SBDC, the Women's Business Centers, all of those types of things. So it's really going to be information forward, resource heavy, bringing you business news and, you know, discussing how it actually applies to you so that the entire world doesn't start freaking out when a presidential administration says that they're going to start taxing Cash App transactions and it don't even apply to everybody, but I'm going to leave that alone. You hear people talking about taxes going up, but you don't realize that they're talking about a certain tax bracket that you might not yet be in, that you don't freak out, right? We want to tell you how this information applies to you so that you can grow your business sustainably. So that's really all it's about, is growing and sustaining the different six-figure levels and just having freedom in the process. So I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited too. And then once it's out, send me the intro episode, the trailer, so that we can drop it here as well. Tiff, thank you for being on the show. It's always a pleasure. I love talking to you about business.
I do too. We could be on here and Tatum will be interviewed on the six-figure setup. Okay.
Yes.
We're bringing on real six-figure success stories as well. And our speakers are people that are being interviewed. They'll be vetted because we want to maintain the integrity of the platform and, you know, be clear, you know, and have people, you know, share comfortably where they are and where they're growing to next. So Tatum's going to be one of our guests.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. If you want to see the video version, full version, because it will probably be two parts on the podcast. But if you want to see the full version, go to my YouTube channel at Tatum Tamia, and I'll put all of Tiff's information in the show notes so that you guys can follow her and stay in touch with everything she has going on too. Oh, we have a YouTube comment that says, thank you. Thanks, Shadella, for tuning in with us live. All right, Tiff, I know you got to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.